Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. As always, I begin reading with today's top stories, top headlines. The first headline reads, Illinois basketball, ruined guitar, resting easy in Champaign. This article is written by Scott Richey, R-I-C-H-E-Y. He can be reached at S-R-I-C-H-E-Y at newsgazette.com. That's his email address. This article is based out of Champaign. The Smashville signage at Bridgestone Arena clearly resonated with Illinois center Tomislav Ivicic. Ivicic. I apologize for any mispronunciation. The last name is spelled I-V-I-S-I-C. Smashville is the official slogan and identity for the NHL's Nashville Predators, who call Bridgestone Arena home and has come to represent Nashville's vibrant culture. It became the Illini's unofficial identity in the wake of the team's 75-62 victory against Tennessee on Saturday. To the victors went an orange-painted guitar, of course, for winning the Music City Madness game. Illinois celebrated with the guitar on the court, then destroyed it in the locker room with Ivicic doing his best Pete Townsend impersonation. It was kind of a joke on the floor that it would happen, and then we were like, we shouldn't do that. Illinois forward Ben Humoricus said. Then we got to the locker room, and I remember he threw it down on the ground, and it was so silent. We didn't know if we were supposed to be celebrating because he did this. Then once Coach Brad Underwood applauded it, we all loved it. The initial look on Underwood's face was shock, an expression shared by Ivicic's teammates with Andre Stojakovic and Kylan Boswell, caught on the celebratory locker room video, mouths agape. Then Underwood let out a yell in celebration, echoed by his players. Guys took Smashville to heart, Underwood said. I think it's really, really important that players enjoy winning. We had a nice bus ride to the airport and had Greek, Serbian, and Croatian music. It looked like a nightclub. Not that I know what a nightclub in Serbia looks like, but I was told it could be a nightclub in Serbia, with guys singing and dancing and having fun. The smashed guitar made the trip back to Champaign, too, and now has a place of honor in strength and conditioning coach Adam Fletcher's office at Ubbin Basketball Complex. He takes great pride in having it, Underwood said. It looks good in Fletcher's office. And there's a few photos that accompany this article. One is of on the court, Illini players around him. Coach Underwood is pretending to play a big orange-ish guitar that has T and block I on it. The caption reads, Brad Underwood celebrates with a guitar given to his Illinois men's basketball team after the number 14 Illini beat number 13 Tennessee 75-62 on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. And then there's a photograph of a basketball player in U of I uniform with a portion of a guitar in his hand. The caption reads, Illinois center Tomislav Ivicic later smashed the guitar in celebration in the Illini locker room. All of these photos, by the way, are courtesy of George Walker for the IVAP, Associated Press. And let's see. Two more photos. One is of Brad Underwood kind of holding up the tattered guitar, I think. Coach Brad Underwood holds up what's left of the guitar trophy smashed by Tomislav Ivicic. And then there's just kind of a group of people, I think, standing around a table. Let's see. Oh, and this is, I'm sorry, this is a separate kind of additional piece photo, right? And it's people in winter gear. And the caption reads, members of the Unity High football team introduce themselves one by one Monday while appearing as guests on the Sports Page radio show at the Esquire in downtown Champaign. And there's more of that in C1. We'll see if we get to that today. That photo is taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. It's directly under the article I just read. And it's kind of related, being kind of a sports article. So congratulations to the U of I for winning that game against Tennessee. Next up, State Farm Center, save the date, Krause coming home in September 2026. One of the most famous former Champaign Central Maroons of them all is headed back to her former hometown next fall for a show at State Farm Center. Tickets, which start at $73, go on sale at 10 a.m. Friday for the September 13th Arcadia Tour show starring Alison Krause and Union Station. Here's more about the fiddle-playing bluegrass star, chart topper. The list of women who've won more Grammys than Krause has one name on it, Beyoncé's, with 27. Krause has more than Aretha Franklin at 18, Adele at 16, Taylor Swift at 14, and Lady Gaga with 14. Only three artists total have more. Beyoncé at 35, late conductor George Solti at 31, and late producer Quincy Jones at 28. So she must have 26. It doesn't say how many she has, I don't think. We'll see. We'll read on. Homecoming Queen. Krause returned to the region in recent years, playing Decatur's Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater just in September. But it's been a while since Krause stopped here, last joining Willie Nelson for a State Farm Center show on May 22, 2018. And in 2011, she headlined a Crisis Nursery fundraiser at the Virginia Theater. That was 2011. City Connections. The inspiration for Champaign's honorary Alison Krause Way, the 400 block of West Hill Street, launched her bluegrass career here, forming her first band by age 10, recording her first track at 14, and releasing her first widely distributed album at the age of 16. And this has been reported by Jeff D'Alessio. There's a photo of Alison Krause and four other male bandmates surrounding her. The caption for that photo, which is provided, reads, Alison Krause and Union Station's Arcadia Tour will take the stage at State Farm Center on September 13th. Next up, Urbana Fire Department holding down the fort. Longtime firefighter Prendergast, P-R-E-N-D-E-R-G-A-S-T, appointed interim chief, doesn't plan to apply to keep the role. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. Tal, Prendergast used to be interested in being an EMS worker. He began to change his mind after a ride-along with the Urbana Fire Department during his high school years. They kind of gave me advice, told me, you don't want to be an EMT, you want to be a firefighter, Prendergast said. History proved those words to be true, as Prendergast has now been fighting fires for nearly 30 years. As of Monday night, he has been chosen to lead his hometown's department as interim fire chief for up to 6 months. It's pretty humbling, actually. It's pretty, or exciting, and a little scary as well, said Prendergast, who told the News Gazette he does not plan to apply for the permanent position. The city council voted to approve Prendergast's appointment, which ends on or before June 5th, 2026. Mayor Deshaun Williams said that the city will be conducting a formal search and interview process as it seeks a permanent replacement for former chief Demond Dade, who resigned in October. Prendergast began as a volunteer firefighter with the Edge Scott Fire Protection District in 1996 and later joined the Danville Fire Department in 2003. He has been with the Urbana Fire Department since 2008 and has served as a firefighter, engineer, lieutenant, and most recently, deputy chief. Alongside his work with the city of Urbana, he has held a range of progressively responsible administrative roles at the University of Illinois Fire Service Institute, including program director and firefighting program administrative coordinator, city officials said. In addition to his ride-along experience, Prendergast said that he was able to get a taste of being a firefighter thanks to an Explorer Post program, which allowed him to do live fire training at IFSI. Having the opportunity to actually put the gear on and go into a building that was on fire and do all those things, it was fun, he said, and it was even more fun than EMS. He also enjoyed how the job requires camaraderie and teamwork, which reminded him of playing sports in high school. And there's several photos to go along with this article. One is an exterior of a firehouse. The caption reads, according to interim Urbana Fire Chief Tal Prendergast, the department hasn't yet moved into this new Fire Station 2 on Mumford Drive and Philo Road, but will do so over this coming weekend and next week. The department moved into its new station, station number three, on December 2nd, he said. All of these photos, by the way, are taken by Robin Scholes of the News Gazette. That's R-O-B-I-N, last name S-C-H-O-L-Z. And there's some internal photos of the building. It looks very nice, clean, new. There's a family room with recliner chairs and a TV. There's a workout room. It's empty. There's some mirrors on the wall, but it will be equipped with weights soon. There is a restroom, shower, right? A large classroom. Excuse me, there's a bunk room yet to be furnished. I guess there'll be a bed. And then a kitchen. The kitchen area of the new Urbana Fire Station 2 on Mumford Drive and Philo Road in Urbana. It's very nice and big. Two ovens, nicer than my kitchen. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. There's one rule for visitors to Allison Shaddix's room at Chicago's Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. So that's Allison, A-L-Y-S-O-N, last name Shaddix, S-H-A-D-I-X. There's one rule for visitors to her room. And this is, again, at Chicago's Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. No negativity, the Rantoul 17-year-old said Monday, adding that she's only accepting positivity. Critically injured in a November 21st car accident on US 45 near Ludlow. Allison continues her steady recovery with a long road ahead, surrounded by family and cheered on by many at Rantoul's. Rantoul has been collecting donations to help the high school senior with medical expenses. The community response has been wonderful, she said, pointing to a stack of checks and gift cards. In Chicago, patients last week received a visit. Okay, so this is separate. Two different articles, or two different things kind of combined into one. In Chicago, patients last week received a visit from Bowl star Josh Giddey. Today, members of the Blackhawks are scheduled to stop by a GoFundMe account. Help Allison Shaddix heal after tragic accident is up to, and it's up to $13,595, thanks to 173 donors set to graduate early from Rantoul High this month and enrolled in Parkland College's CNA program. Allison is keeping a positive attitude at the Ability Lab, which provides care for patients of stroke, spinal cord injury, and traumatic brain injury. I feel good, she said, and just want to come home. There's a photograph of her. Looks like a high school photo. Beautiful young woman, just portrait kind of photo. There is a Sheer Excellence Salon on Century Boulevard. The owner is Bridget Schulter. I don't know why that's featured here. Perhaps it has something to do with the GoFundMe account. And then there's also a photo provided of, let's see, I think of Josh Giddey. And yeah, so there's a photo of him too. This was kind of a hodgepodge of different things, but that's what was presented on Top of the Morning today. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always reach out to Jeff D'Alessio, who is the one of the editors at News Gazette. You can reach him by email at JROSSOW@newsgazette.com. Next up, history, area history. In 1925, the state tax rate for 1926 will be increased when the commission meets within a few days. The 1925 rate was 65 cents on the $100 valuation, and it's believed the new rate will be raised to 85 cents. Appropriations are blamed for the increase. In 1975, as the University of Illinois moves into a period where limited funds for programs are an increasingly likely prospect, students have begun to share the burden with smaller but no less important financial dilemmas threatening their educations. Two traditional sources of educational funding, summer jobs and parental income, have been adversely affected by the recession, which hit the country at nearly the same time educational costs began to soar. Excuse me, in 2010, Mark Sheldon is leaving the office at Champaign County of Champaign County Clerk, almost the same way he entered it, with an appointment. With an appointment. Sheldon, Sheldn, said he is moving on to become the chief of staff to his longtime political ally, U.S. Representative Tim Johnson, a Republican from Urbana. In international history, today's highlight. On December 9th, 1979, scientists certified the global eradication of smallpox, a disease which killed an estimated 300 million people in the 20th century. Also on this date, in 1965, Charlie Brown Christmas, the first animated TV special featuring characters from the Peanuts comic strip by Charles M. Schulz, premiered on CBS. That was 1965. In 1990, Solidarity founder Lech Walesa won Poland's first free presidential election since 1926. In 1992, the first U.S. Marines made a pre-dawn beach landing in Somalia in support of Operation Restore Hope. They were met by hundreds of reporters awaiting their arrival. And in 2006, the space shuttle Discovery launched on a mission to add to and rewire the International Space Station. Next up, let's take a quick look at our weather forecast for the next week. Today, 40 degrees, partly sunny early, then becoming mostly cloudy. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 40, the low will be 35. Mostly cloudy, with a 50% chance of scattered rain and snow showers early. West winds will get up to 30 miles per hour, gusting. That's tomorrow. Thursday, the high will be 29, the low is 21, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of snow. That's Thursday. So rain Wednesday, possible snow Thursday. Friday, a little colder, 27 degrees is the high, 19 is the low, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of snow in the morning. Saturday, colder. The high will be 14, the low is 7, mostly cloudy. Wind chill values as low as 10 below. Stay warm out there. Next up, from Election 2026, how Illinois' Democratic U.S. Senate candidates plan to address economic issues. This article is written by Ben Zolinski for news at capitalnewsillinois.com. Recent polling by Reuters found that 40% of voters list cost of living as their top concern heading into the 2026 election. With that in mind, the three top Democrats vying to become the party's nominee for U.S. Senator in Illinois have released proposals detailing how they plan to make life more affordable for Americans. The cost of living is just too darn high, which is why I'm putting forth a menu of policy proposals to drive down the cost of living, make it possible for everyday folks to buy a home, send their children to quality public schools, start a business, continue their post-secondary education, afford their life-saving prescription drugs, and more, says U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamurthy, a Schaumburg Democrat, said in a statement Tuesday releasing his agenda. Krishnamurthy, KRISHNAMOORTHI, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, and U.S. Representative Robin, R-O-B-I-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, are the most well-known names, in a 14-candidate primary to replace retiring U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. The economic plans show plenty of similarities between candidates in a race where they've yet to separate themselves on major policy issues, but they did differentiate in a few key areas in terms of how to achieve similar results. The federal minimum wage has been $7.25 since 2009, and each candidate supports raising it to at least $15. But the two incumbent members of Congress go a step further, with Kelly, a Linwood Democrat, proposing increasing the wage to $17 by 2030, and Krishnamurthy proposing raising the wage to $15 and then tying it to inflation. Housing. Each candidate announced substantial proposals to address housing affordability. Stratton's plan calls for creating tax incentives to encourage construction companies to build homes below the median price point, creating a tax penalty for hedge funds that buy single-family homes in hopes of keeping them affordable, and restricting the ability of artificial intelligence to set rents and screen applicants. Krishnamurthy said he wants to reestablish an Obama-era refundable tax credit for qualified first-time homebuyers in their first 5 years of ownership. He also called for opening more land for residential development by rezoning vacant commercial buildings. Kelly supports capping annual rent increases. She and Krishnamurthy also generally support policies that limit a corporation's ability to buy single-family homes. Healthcare. So on the topic of healthcare, both Stratton and Kelly say they support the concept of Medicare for All, quote-unquote, which would establish a single-payer, government-run health insurance program that all Americans would have access to. Stratton's plan also calls for Medicare to cover long-term care home services, hearing and vision, while Kelly only said it should cover dental and vision. Kelly also wants to expand Affordable Care Act eligibility to more middle-class Americans and increase tax credits available under the act. Krishnamurthy's plan does not indicate he supports the Medicare for All plan. Instead, he calls for allowing Medicare to negotiate prices for more drugs each year and for passing legislation to regulate pharmacy benefit managers in hopes of reducing drug prices. And lastly, on the topic of food and hunger issues. With food prices a top issue in conversations about cost of living and the Trump administration labeling affordability a Democratic con job, quote-unquote, both Krishnamurthy and Stratton have proposed ideas to help people struggling to afford to eat. Krishnamurthy is calling for establishing a national free lunch program that would provide all children at least one free meal each day at school. He also wants U.S. government agencies to promote export policies that would help smaller family farms access overseas markets. Krishnamurthy said he will push for antitrust legislation that targets grocery stores. Stratton said she would seek to create a permanent grant program that allows states to source food from local farmers to go to food banks. And that's a part of our capital coverage. Next up, Bement School District. Broken boiler keeps students home. This article is written by Rob LeCates. He can be reached by email at rlecates@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Bement. Bement students are staying home amid the boiler order for another boil-related issue, the school's broken heating system. The school district treated Monday as a remote learning day and will do so on Tuesday. Students will return once heat is restored to the entire building, but for now, it is uncertain if school will open on Wednesday. The water advisory started Saturday, and the fire department and public works brought a water tanker truck that people could refill their own buckets, jugs, and containers with at the Lions Club at 117 or 117 South Macon Street. The water safety is unconfirmed, so it should be boiled for at least a minute before consumption. Mary Voigt, V-O-G-T, the school superintendent, said she originally hoped the school would open on Tuesday. While repairs progressed, she announced Monday afternoon that the boiler is not yet ready to safely and reliably heat the building. The problem started last Friday, which caused the school district to take a half day. The building grew colder throughout the day, which prompted staff to raise the issue. The boiler damages are not connected to the newly updated gym's heat and air conditioning system. A repair team assessed the damages over the weekend and determined the boiler's faulty pilot valve caused natural gas to build up and shoot flames upwards that broke the flue. That being said, the village is still under a boil order until Wednesday, but the school took precautionary measures if students returned while still under the boil order. Voigt said the district stocked up on water, ready for student use, and the lunch staff will create lunches that do not require water to prepare until the order is lifted. We have backup plans in place so that lunch will likely be served on paper products instead of trays that need to be washed using the dishwasher, she said. Along with the cafeteria staff, we're working with the maintenance and custodial staff to make sure that we're able to use the restroom. And there's one photo. It's just of their school mascot, which looks like an angry bulldog with a leash or a collar. And next up, February incident. Champagne man pleads guilty to sexual assault of woman he confined. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. It's based out of Urbana. A Champaign man pleaded guilty to criminal sexual assault Monday in a case in which he was accused of confining a woman in his home and assaulting her. Antonio C. Carter, age 38, was charged with aggravated criminal sexual assault, aggravated kidnapping, unlawful restraint, and two counts of aggravated domestic battery. When he pleaded guilty to criminal sexual assault, the state dismissed a related domestic battery and kidnapping incident with the same victim. After consulting with the victim, we agreed to this resolution, said Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson. Carter was sentenced to 15 years in prison to be served at 85% time and will also be required to register as a sex offender for life. The sexual assault also apparently occurred during the time where there was a dangerous weapon that Carter was armed with a dangerous weapon, allegedly, between February 23rd and 26th, the time during which he was accused of confining the victim and not allowing her to leave his residence. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. Thanks for listening. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly. Have a wonderful day.